All right, welcome to Conversation Manipulators. I got an email from Jeff recently, and I'm just going to go right ahead and read it for you so that everybody has an understanding of Jeff's situation. Okay, so Jeff says, often when I'm speaking with a prospect, I find that prospects will offer compliance by listening and pretending to be going along while I'm not really identifying or internalizing. Perhaps rapport breaks because of sticker shock, or maybe it doesn't take off from the get-go because of preconceptions or bias, e.g. this person calling fits my categorical definition of a telemarketer, and I can't trust telemarketers, but I do have to be polite. Perhaps the best approach in this scenario is to call it like it is, thus introducing surprise and demonstrating authority in their world, e.g. I could say, anyway, it sounds like you're miserable with your job and you realize that you need to do something to change this, but you're not sure. But who am I to tell you what's going on with you? It's not like I've spoken to thousands of people in a similar situation. I guess my question is, how can you remove yourself from the categories others put you in and demonstrate authority in their world? Now, in response to that email, Jeff is completely right to say that when he calls prospects, they seem like they will offer compliance by listening and pretending to be going along while not really listening or internalizing. The reason why is because this is something that I think we all do. I know for a fact that when someone calls me up on the phone and I don't really know who they are, I immediately go into the frame of mind of, this person is trying to sell me something. So when you pick up the phone and someone is on the other end and you get that sense that they're trying to sell you something, you're running this internal telemarketer pattern inside your mind. And this telemarketing pattern is basically what your mind thinks about telemarketing because of what you've experienced in the past or because of external input, so because of what someone else has told you. So this pattern is basically what your mind thinks will happen when you pick up the phone to a telemarketer based on personal experience. So for example, I've picked up the phone to a telemarketer once before, and all he was trying to do was sell me something. Therefore, every telemarketer is trying to sell me something. And that belief is going to influence your behavior and your receptiveness to what's going on. So these belief patterns that evolve or are created based on your experience or the input from others dictate your actions and your behaviors and your receptivity to influence. And I think it's very important to understand the patterns that your audience is running, okay? And that's the first part of the puzzle of learning how to influence them. So behavioral patterns when it comes to telemarketing, as Jeff has said, are usually along these lines. Someone calls you up, you pick up the phone, you discover it's someone doing telesales, you know that they're trying to sell you something, and it's usually something you don't want, so you pretend to listen, usually giving one-word answers, then you wait for them to finish their sales pitch, then you tell them that you're not interested at this time. So that's the basic telemarketing pattern. So Jeff's main question is, how can you remove yourself from the categories others put you in and demonstrate authority in their world? Well, to do that, what we want to do is immediately break that telemarketing pattern. So interrupt the hell out of it by doing a stark contrast of what the prospect is expecting and what they're accustomed to. So the way to do that is, of course, by using a pattern interrupt. And the reason why is because it will throw people off balance and make them more susceptible to your influence. So you use the pattern interrupt to throw them mentally off balance, and then once they're off balance, you can go in and use conversation manipulators to handle their objections. And I also don't know what he can get away with over the phone, but I would suggest definitely experimenting with different pattern interrupts. One thing that Jeff suggested was to just come right on out and call it like it is. And to be honest, that's something that I would definitely suggest trying. And in fact, if you go back to the main Dark Side Hypnosis course and you go to the end of the Hidden Persuaders Part 2 section, then you will see that I talk about how to sell something in a sales environment. Well, a lot of those techniques will also apply here to what Jeff is trying to do. But in particular, I mentioned raising their primary concern as a pattern interrupt. So in this context, what is someone's primary concern going to be? Well, it's most likely the fact that they think that you are a telemarketer and that they think you're obviously going to be trying to make them buy something. You know it, they know it, so why not just come right out there and deal with the problem? So you could say something like, okay, listen, obviously I want you to buy something here today because both you know it and I know it. That's my job and that's how I get paid and that's why I'm calling you today. And obviously you're interested in this opportunity or you wouldn't have signed up to hear more about it. But the last thing I want to do is be like all those other pushy salesmen who are so desperate to make a sale that they're like pushing this thing down your throat. So instead of being like that, how about I tell you exactly what you're going to gain when you sign up today? So can you see how powerful that section is right there? I actually did two things. First of all, like I said, I raised the primary concern, which is this guy is just trying to sell me something just like all those other people who do telesales. And I also did a massive pattern interrupt, which ties in with their primary concern. The pattern interrupt was the fact that I laid all my cards out on the table, and I told him the truth, even though it's something he already knows, and that was, look, you know it, and I know it. I want you to buy something because that's how I get paid. Now, that kind of honesty is not the typical kind of behavior from someone who does telemarketing, so it interrupts the prospect's pattern. Now, once you've done that, you will have nicely removed yourself from the category of just another telemarketer, and your prospect will be more willing to listen to you. So now you need to demonstrate authority over their world by handling any objection that they throw at you. The good news for you is that most telemarketers or people who work in sales have no idea how to handle objections or even what they are, so you've already got a head start with that. Now, one thing I will say is that every serious prospect will have objections before they sign up, and that's just the nature of the business. So just think of these objections as small tests that you need to pass so that you can get the sign up or the sale or whatever it is. And to help you pass those tests, I'm going to give you some techniques right now that I call conversation manipulators. Okay, so these conversation manipulators are basically short little scripts that you can use to pass these tests that your prospects are going to throw at you. Now, obviously, there's no way for me to know every little objection that your prospect might have, but I'm going to take some of the most common objections and give you conversation manipulators for them. So the first objection, which is no doubt a very common one, is how much is this going to cost me? Now, one of the main reasons I've included this objection is because in Jeff's email, he mentioned that he thinks the prospect might be getting sticker shock. So presumably at some point, his prospects are asking this question. They're asking, how much is this going to cost me? Well, my thoughts on this objection are this. If someone is asking you how much something is going to cost them so early in the sales process, and you answer logically, and you just tell them the price, then you may have already failed this test. The reason why is because the prospect most likely doesn't know much about what it is that you're offering them, and so the thing you're offering them has no real value to them. So until they know more about the opportunity that you're offering them, then it's a bad question for them to ask. And if you're in a position in your business where you can send them some free information on the opportunity, either in the mail or by email, then the best possible response you can have is by saying something like, this isn't about spending money, it's about making money and how much it's going to change your life. So you could say something along those lines. And then you could follow up with saying, so how about I send you some more information in the mail? Along those same lines, another very common objection is, I'm not sure if I can afford this. If this is the objection that comes up, and you're in a position to give them free information on what it is that you're offering, then you can just say, it doesn't cost you anything to check it out. If this objection comes up later on, after you've interviewed them, then you can just manipulate the conversation by using the information that they've already given you. So for example, let's say that they've told you that they're unhappy with their current job, and now they tell you that they're not sure that they can afford what it is that you're offering them. So then you can just say, to be honest with you, Bob, with what you've told me today about hating your job and how it's sending you into depression and ruining your relationship with your wife, I don't think you can afford not to take part in this opportunity. I mean, imagine a year from now, all of that strain that your current job has put onto your relationship and your home life. Do you really want to look back on this moment right now and wish that you'd taken me up on this opportunity? Another very common objection that you might get from a prospect is, I don't like to do X. So if a prospect tells you that they don't like to do X, then all you need to do is manipulate the conversation and say, well, that's perfect, Bob, because this is not a business about X. What it's really about is Y. And as well as that, you'll be working with a team that is dedicated to supporting each other and really working in an environment where everyone can feel passionate about what it is that they do. And I think based on what you've told me today, that's really what you're looking for, isn't it? Another very common objection, which you might get in this kind of situation is, I have to talk to my wife first. If this is the objection that comes up, then you can manipulate the conversation by saying something along these lines. Bob, let me ask you a question. Would your wife knowingly want you to stay in a job that's making you so miserable and driving a wedge between the two of you? Because listen, Bob, the truth is, I'm not sure how much longer this opportunity will be available, but it is available right now. So when you think about it like that, just imagine a time in the future, say 6 months from now, and you've already joined this opportunity, and you're not feeling depressed any longer, and your relationship with your wife is better than it's ever been. And just imagine for a second, with all that in mind right now, looking back on this moment right now and thinking that signing with us was one of the best decisions that you've ever made in your life. And when you think about it like that, how does that feel? Now, if you take a look at that conversation manipulator I just used, basically what I did was I took the objection where the prospect says that they need to talk to their wife first, and then I replayed the reasons that the prospect had given me for why he wants to leave his current job. Then I added scarcity to the opportunity by saying, I'm not sure how much longer it will be available. And then I used some time distortion to make him see a time in the future when the prospect has already signed up to the opportunity. Now, in this kind of situation, time distortion is extremely powerful because when you take someone's objection and you go after it as if they've already overcome the objection, then you've ultimately just got rid of it so that there's no objection in the first place. So time distortion is a very effective tool for objections, and it's a very powerful conversation manipulator. Another very common objection could be, I'm not sure if this opportunity is for me. If this objection comes up, then the best way to deal with it is to say to the prospect something like, Bob, I'm going to be honest with you here. Based on what you've told me today about your current job and the effect it's having on you as a person, I think you owe it to yourself to at least look at what I'm offering you today. So I'll tell you what, give me your commitment to at least look at this opportunity, and I'll give you all of the information that you need so you can really see if this opportunity is a good fit for you. How does that sound? Okay, so that was a few examples of conversation manipulators. And as well as that, the important thing when you're on the phone and you're doing telemarketing or anything along those lines is to really interrupt your prospect's pattern so that they're not feeling like you're just like every other telemarketer out there. So at that point, they're more likely to listen to you. So put these techniques to work for you. Experiment with interrupting someone's pattern on the phone, and I'm sure you'll see results.